He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has swept empty away. Excuse me. And the rich he has sent empty away. This is Wilmer here this morning again. My telephone number is 484-919-8850. This week, we're taking on the challenge of studying humility. And I do find this to be a great challenge, considering the amount of pride that has been in my life, and also the enormity of the subject in the scriptures. There are three points here that I'd like to point out. Number one, the longer I live, the more I study this subject, the more I realize that a proud person does not stand a chance in this life, nor the life to come. Point number two, as time goes on, we realize more and more that pride will put distance between us and our Heavenly Father, while at the same time he will draw nigh to those who are brokenhearted. Point number three, the more we recognize the need of humility because of the pride in our lives, the more we are able to cover for our weaker brother, a struggling leader, our forefathers, and nation, as we in brokenness come before our Father in heaven and live our lives in true humility. I'll repeat that last one. The more we recognize the need of humility because of the pride in our lives, the more we are able to cover for our weaker brother, a struggling leader, or our forefathers, and or our nation, as we in brokenness come before our Father in heaven and live our lives in true humility. Today, I would just like to speak on something I came across in this study. It's found in Daniel 4, verse 30 to 37. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among inhabitants of the earth, and none can say his hand or say unto him, What dost thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and an excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. As I read this portion of scripture, I found some very interesting points. The first point, the natural mind of man reading this story will very quickly see here that Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. And it's not hard to see that he was humbled. It is true that he was humbled. He was humbled in a great way. Point number two, when we take a little closer look at this story, we will soon recognize that Nebuchadnezzar did not write this story, but it was Daniel who wrote the story. He didn't write it as if he was writing it. He wrote it as if Nebuchadnezzar wrote the story. Point number three. It does not at all mention who took care of the kingdom over these seven times. Were these seven times 7 years? Was it 7 months? I'm not sure. Point number four. What would America do today with a situation like this? You know, when I think of the big chaos this would make in America, if this would happen to our president today, what a big fuss it would give, and what a scramble for office there would be. But in this story, there's no indication that the people knew that he was out there eating as an oxen, eating grass as an oxen, that he was getting wet in the dew, and that he was missing for seven times. Maybe the people knew, I don't know. But, you know, I have to wonder if the people really knew. It says he was driven from men. He was driven away from men. Who would have known it? It almost appears here, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it does appear like Daniel and the counselors took over in those seven times and held the kingdom for Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know if this is true or not, but that is what I do wonder if this is not what happened here. Point number five that I have for us all. How would I cover for my brother in Christ in a situation like this? A weaker brother. Maybe a struggling leader. How quick would I be to gossip about this? You know, when we see all these things and we start to realize the heights of pride that America has come to, can we really look at America only? Can we really look into our own hearts? How would we really do if a weaker brother was struggling? Would we be quick to spread gossip? Or would we be quick to cover for him? Would we be quick to hold his farm or his property for him while he's going through a time of his life where he's struggling? How are we when there is a struggling leader amongst us? Are we quick to spread gossip and rumors? Are we quick to scramble for position? Or is there enough of humility in our hearts that we would be willing to cover for those in our lives. I guess I do find this story quite touching here. Here's an example of how Daniel handled some things. In Daniel 9, apparently things have become quite desolate. Things have come to a quite low state. And I'm just amazed how Daniel, when he sought the Lord, he didn't just seek the Lord. He also sought for his own personal iniquities. He didn't stop there. He sought the Lord for the iniquities of his nation, for his forefathers, and he, in humility, came before his heavenly Father with these things. It says in Daniel 9:13 to 9:17, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteousness in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renowned. As at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. Brothers and sisters, are we willing to cover? Are we willing to approach our Heavenly Father for our brother, for our leaders, for our nation, for the Lord's sake? For his sake, for his name's sake, for his glory. I wish you all a great day in the Lord.